Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio on July 31st, 2022, in case we replay this. It's a timeless topic. We're talking about marijuana again. And we're going to help everybody understand that the medical option isn't really that medical, and it isn't really a good option. So that's a little spoiler alert at the top of the hour here. And I do hope that you will go to the archives that stretch back for years and years and years and years, like 12 or something, and tap into some of those older shows. A lot of those topics are still super useful, and many of them are way before their time. We were covering the transgender issue back in 2016, go figure. So we're maybe it's our fault this is happening, actually. I never thought about that.
Uh-huh.
I always thought maybe we were just sort of ahead, but I don't know. Maybe we should be blamed. So what do you have for us, Bill, as far as sponsorship?
Well, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They have everything up there, John Deere, you name it. They have it, tractors, mowers, implements, parts service. They do it all up there. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, Shasta Lake, and right in between the Oasis and Pine Grove exits. Go up and see them or give them a call at 226-9226, and they'll get you fixed up with brand-new John Deere equipment. And or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. There you go.
There you have it. Okay. Back to our guest, Dr. Eric Voth. He's from Kansas. Kind of fun. We haven't talked to anybody from Kansas, I don't think.
We haven't had Dorothy on
if
a
we
long
did,
time.
If we did, they didn't admit it.
Click my heels a few times. And
please
happens,
do.
So.
Yeah.
You know, I wish you would, because we're starting with fires again. And just for the folks out in your neck of the woods, fires are not a natural disaster. The fires in the West are caused by bad forest management. They are avoidable. They're not like tornadoes where you are. They're not like hurricanes. They're not like floods. They're not like any of those things. They are something that policy could fix. And
the vast majority. Every once in a while we'll have
a lightning
strike.
Get lightning fire. I mean, I'm not saying the causes are caused by policy, but the fact that they become what you see on the news, which, you know, looks like
mega fires.
Looks like Armageddon. And we just burned down 270 structures yesterday up north of us towards the Oregon line. I don't know how many have been lost today, but the fire doubled overnight. And tons of people affected and probably won't be able to rebuild. That'll never be a FEMA disaster because they won't reach the loss limit that FEMA steps in. And so these people, if they were able to keep their homeowners insurance, a lot of them are being canceled that live in rural areas. If they have insurance, they will be kind of on their own with that. So anyway, just a bit out there here at the end of July as the whole fire mess begins. Remember, it's not a natural disaster. It's a policy problem.
It is a season, though. Yeah, we now...
Unfortunately, yes, it
now
is a season.
Now we have a fire season.
Yeah, boo.
So, yeah.
All right, back to Kansas. Back to Kansas and marijuana. Oh, and the bad part is all the big marijuana that you saw in Narcofornia is up there in the county that I'm discussing, and unfortunately, it's not anywhere near the marijuana at this point. Boo.
Yeah.
Darn.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Another...
Yeah.
another bad little piece of bad news. So okay, back to Isaac and kind of how you guys got started and why, and I'm curious about that. You're very well known. It's very reputable.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks out there that have stories and want to be more involved. Maybe this is an outlet for them.
Well, the concept for Isaac really came to be about 2 years ago. All of us, and the five of us that were directors that really started the organization, have been involved, you know, for years in different organizations, professional groups, and individually, et cetera. And we kind of put our heads together and said, you know, what really is missing? I'm going to cough here just a second. I was just getting over COVID, but...
That's right. I forgot about that. You tried to go on vacation. I'm going on vacation. Boom, I have COVID. Perfect.
Boy, perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
Several of us put our heads together and said, you know what really was missing is an authoritative group that doesn't speak up and speak out on cannabis. And wanted to come at it, you know, purely as scientists, as physicians, and get information out there and just say, look, you know, this is not us making it up. This is what the science shows us. And we all had individuals that we professionally or personally had contact with internationally, and we started tapping those contacts, put together quite a professional group of physicians or PhDs or policy experts, and we initially started the organization more to educate physicians because, you know, really felt there was no non-political group that really could get the marijuana information out there. And since doing that, you know, there have been surprised, probably the most surprising thing is the number of parent groups or individuals that say, oh my God, I never knew this. Can I get more information? So we have done a lot of educational stuff, and we put most of the things that we have either put, you know, stood for.
We're losing you there.
Fine.
There we go. We were losing you signal-wise. Something was... Something funky was going on.
Well, sometimes the signal does get a little harried here, but anyway, so we put this together. Our website is very easy to navigate, and if there are things that people are interested in particularly, we'd be happy to try things out there, but we have a library website, and it's pretty self-explanatory with subject areas, et cetera.
Well, I think that's just really helpful. Give me some idea, or for folks who haven't been on the site, we should give the site out again. It's IASIC.
One, then the number one. ISIC1.org.
.org. There it is. I have it on the site, but I had it as a link. I will go back in and I'll actually print that out on there for people. Who else is participating in that? Like, what other disciplines do you guys have?
Well, it's pretty broad. I mean, for instance, on our board, we have one physician that is actually a pathologist, an emergency physician, psychiatrist that also ran an addiction treatment unit, and then one of the country's top pain experts is our board also. And, you know, our affiliates, gosh, I mean, we've just got a lot of my favorites. They're coming and going there, but about 40 different folks, so all over the U.S. and Europe, et cetera, so...
That's fantastic. Talk to me about the pain thing, now that you've mentioned that, because that's one I hear a lot. Oh, I have such problems with pain, and I can't take pain medication, and marijuana really helps. That's the narrative.
Well, it's interesting because that a fairly low percentage of those people that go to receive marijuana for pain actually use it for their pain. A pretty high percentage use it for intoxication and recreational uses. So that's the other part of it is, and this is now coming from, you know, sort of like big national reviews and series, that it really is pretty marginal. In fact, the most recent review on that suggests that maybe there is some benefit for pain, but even that is sketchy. And all these other, you know, things that get tossed out there there's not science behind them. And I would say, you know, somebody might believe that they are getting benefit from their whatever issue, but that's not the same as a series of scientific, controlled, blinded study, you know. And if a person turned out of their gourd, well, maybe they feel better, but that doesn't mean that the pain or the that they're saying they're treating is better.
Yeah.
So that's a fundamental issue that I bring up when I'm particularly testifying to state legislatures, et cetera.
Yeah, it's no different than people that turn to alcohol for pain relief. I mean, yeah, they get
or emotional support.
Yeah, they get mentally affected by the alcohol, but it doesn't mean that the pain has gone.
Right, right. And of course, if they're using it recreationally, that going to be that tendency, you know, to want to try to validate it and justify it and rationalize it. Oh, it makes my anxiety so much better. Well, you know, being stunned out of your mind, maybe, but, you know, is it really helping the underlying condition? And the other piece that is tricky, and it's very tough to get science on it, is what are the side effects that are making other things worse? Good example. Somebody takes it for pain, but they get more depressed. You know, they keep taking it for pain, they get suicidal. And you'll hear, oh, they had so much pain, they killed themselves. Well, maybe. But maybe the marijuana was making their depression worse, which definitely happens. So it's very tricky that way. And I think, and I know it sounds a little broad brush, but I would say right now, there is no evidence that marijuana is the know-all, end-all for any single medical disorder. And I know that some people say I'm full of it, but I'm telling you, from what I've seen, there is no evidence that marijuana is the final authority, the best of the best, the only thing that will help sort of everything you throw it at. Doesn't happen.
It was interesting because when we had a few discussions with Dr. Stuart Reese about, you know, cancer and all of that, because I've seen where a lot of the illegal growing is done and how it's done, I don't know, when he was talking about all the cancer and all that stuff, I thought, well, I mean, I'm sure, because you look at all the chemicals that are on this stuff. And so we asked him, well, what about somebody who, because this is, I hear this all the time too, I don't get it from a dispensary. I know exactly how it's grown because I grow it organically in my backyard or whatever. I grow like two plants or something. And so we asked him, what about that? Or what if you grew it in a lab? Like, what if you're a scientist, you grew it in a lab and it had no chemical interactions except for the plant? And he talked to us like we were mentally slow, and he said, if it comes from the cannabis plant, it causes cancer. At which point, you know, later in the show, I kind of forgot that, and then I was like, well, what about CBD and hemp? If it comes from the cannabis plant, it causes cancer. And so I thought, okay, then you add all the chemical composition that's in these products in the dispensaries, and people have no idea. They say that they're regulated, but I mean, in California, well, they've proven it's not. So
that's an area that the legislatures really have a responsibility. If they're going to allow this stuff, you know, they need to require a detailed analysis of what is in it. I mean, there's heavy metals that have been identified when you start talking about, you know, cancer, et cetera.
Well, one of the guys we spoke to said they grew a bunch of it near Chernobyl to pull the heavy metals out of the ground.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because apparently it's a property of the plant. It will draw the heavy metals out of the ground. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not a scientist, but I'm thinking I know where the heavy metals go.
Well, they need to put. You know, I agree. They need to put testing in place, but the testing needs to take place prior to putting it in the dispensaries.
Yeah, right
now, they're going to the dispensaries, taking samples and saying, oh, this doesn't comply. You have X amount of days to clean it up. Well, that should be done before they put it in there, not after they've been selling it to whoever walks in the door. I mean, they're just selling poison.
Yeah, that's just cool.
Well, and the other piece of that puzzle is the public really has a right to know you know, what are they getting? Are they getting 5% THC? Are they getting, you know, 80% THC? That needs to definitely be analyzed, because then people can say, whoa, this stuff's going to cause more psychosis, or, well, I better be really careful with this dose.
Well, Ann Hassel told us, we have her, you know, documentary Smokescreen posted on the site, and she had told us in an interview that if it's under 80% THC, nobody wants it. The dispensaries can't sell it. So the higher it is, no pun intended, the more popular it is, and that seems there doesn't seem to be any there's no interest in let's make sure that this is moderate. I hate to say it, but yeah, we have to take a break again. But when we come back, maybe I was looking at your bio again, and the one thing we really didn't get into as much is you have 20 years of studying the effects of drugs and addiction, and people constantly say that this is not addictive. I know you've talked about that a little, but in the map of drugs and addiction, once we legalize this, I think I kind of know the answer, but where does this go from your vantage point as a physician? We'll be right back. Sure. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
All the gold in California is in a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills in somebody else's name. So if you're dreaming about California, it don't matter at all where you played before. California's a brand new game.
When there we were all in one place, a generation lost in space, with no time left. Stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high and...
Just to be clear, the gold in California that's in that bank in Beverly Hills in somebody else's name, the name it's in is the member of some sort of Mexican cartel. I'm just here to spoiler alert you. It's not your neighbor. Terribly unfortunate. But, yeah, the criminal world has really made a heyday out of our inability to follow science and listen to people like Dr. Voth.
Well, you know, getting back to the
drugs,
the,
and addiction.
Yeah, well, the illegal substances that are used to grow marijuana. When you go to the grocery store, they actually have a section for certified organic. So it can be done. At least if you believe it's certified organic. But they do have organic, because there's people out there and kids out there that are sensitive to certain chemicals that are put on our food. There's no reason why they can't implement something like that for marijuana at this point, to make sure that what they're selling doesn't have all these heavy metals and pesticides and all this other stuff in it. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, that's absolutely true, and the problem is you've got to have enough community will that it happened to push it and get the legislature behind it and say, yeah, but what if it cuts back on our profits? You know, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a circular phenomenon there, and yes, absolutely. Pot that's being sold out there, we ought to know exactly how much THC, all the other garbage in there, what are all the other byproducts done by certified professional laboratories, not just, oh, my buddy Bob, who decides that there's, it's ridiculous. And it's incredible that there is so regulation. I mean, that's the part that I absolutely baffled by.
Yeah, it's totally doable. I mean, for crying out loud, you as a farmer, if you grow sugar beets, those sugar beets are
all over you.
Yeah,
100% of the time.
And they're tested. They're tested for chemicals. They're tested for sugar content and all this other stuff before they ever get to the processor. And so there's no reason why. Okay, you wanna grow marijuana, then these are the rules that before it leaves the field, it needs to be certified.
Well, that's why right. They say we have to take it off Schedule 1 and totally legalize it and blah, 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 blah. But we've seen, I know the California effect better than the other states, and it did happen in other states, though. You know, they legalized it and the black market just absolutely took off.
Yeah.
It was a veritable gold rush out here. So when you have people out there, is there any statistic on how many people have an addiction problem, whether they exercise it or not, but how many, I mean, I think we all are addicted to different things, whether it's TV or drugs or, you know, small schnauzers or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, there are studies that are done on that, and I always felt marijuana studies were just fantasy, and you know, because who's really, really doing the research on, okay, what is problematic use, what is clear addictive use, and a lot of that data has to come from institutions, and you know, I'm underimpressed by what institutions are doing. I mean, I had psych units that I worked around, and they weren't tracked that stuff. Because they were concerned that somebody would get hold of illegality of it, and then the clients would have problems. So it's a wild west right now, and I think that's one thing that could really stand to be tightened up a lot. It used to be not too bad in the early 2000s, but along, you know, midwinter, that tracking went away. And, yes, we need to know who's using, what's happening. Have they gone to treatment? Have they required treatment? Have they been in jail? I mean, that's part and parcel of this stuff. But there was a lot of pushback from the marijuana industry and individuals saying, well, you know, it gives this criminalization view, and a lot of it just went away.
Well, the thing is, you have people who have problems with things. Now, you know, you always get the alcohol thing. Well, there are tons of alcoholics and there are liquor stores everywhere and they've got it in grocery stores and all that. Well, I don't think that's helpful for people to be faced with it all the time. But I don't think putting marijuana stores in everybody's town is helping with the addiction either.
Well, you know, the whole alcohol argument, God, I've fought that so many times. And it's just, first of all, a completely different drug. And there is absolutely no beverage use of marijuana. You don't smoke pot because you love that burning smell and terrible heat that's going up through your respiratory system. You know, alcohol, you can have a glass of wine, alcoholic, drive, you're not going to get a DUI. People have trouble with alcohol. And I'd be the first to say, holy cow, alcoholism is a serious problem. But it's a totally different drug, and so it's kind of nonsense. The real issue is with marijuana, at what point is a person becoming dependent? It's very long-acting stuff.
That's the thing. It stays in the system for such
a
long time.
Yeah, and by Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, it's pretty much out of your system. You know, not true with alcohol. You know, it's an ounce an hour rather than, you know, a week with a single. But I think the other part is it seems like marijuana smoking individuals are far more tolerant of being, quote, blown away than, you know, recreation alcohol users. And I can't say that across the board, and I certainly don't have statistics to prove. But of the people that I've dealt with, you know, it seems like a lot of the pot users are just willing to be stoned on their out of their minds. You know?
Well, and you can vape this super, super high potency THC, And it leaves no trace. You don't. It isn't like the olden days. You know, the salesman who went out for lunch and came back and his eyes were all red and smells like beer. You could see it at work, but here you have kids vaping this stuff during school.
Well, that has been a serious problem, and you know, trying to get it identified and out of schools or off the streets is tough. You know, you're telling law enforcement, well, you got to go after this, and oh, by the way, catch the bank robber too. It's like, it's just marijuana. Well, wait a minute, it's not just marijuana. So, yeah, that's tricky. And you mentioned, you know, I actually been involved in this whole marijuana world for literally 40 years, and I opened up a chemical dependence unit in 1984, and personally ran that unit, admitted all the patients. There were about 4,000 to 5,000 patients in that time frame. So I had a very, very, you know, face-to-face view with addiction, and pot was a big part of it. That takes us to 1994, before all the vapes and all that stuff really started hitting the market. And you could just see a ramp up in all the social consequences. And it was literally ignored by, you know, policymakers, et cetera, because, oh, it's just pot. And they had been sold a bill of goods by the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the real kicker. So if somebody came at you with a really hard argument, I always think, like, when people listen to our show, I like them to walk away with, like, good arguments that they can make themselves. You know, just that regular people could make. So if you have somebody who says, hey, you know, I don't think we should have, you know, all these dispensaries in our town, and they want to go make, and the argument is, well, we have liquor stores everywhere.
Two different drugs. And what's more, the alcohol is very tightly related. So one of the most important things is get serious regulation going, you know. Prove what's going on. What criminal action is taking place, if any? What are they actually selling? That's one of the things, you know, bring that to the public. Public disclosure is a pretty powerful formula, except in certain parts of the country where everybody's smoking pot. So it's, you know, it might work in Kansas, but Northern California, and just shake their head and say, just go get stoned, you know.
No, you're right. If you're in an area where there's high marijuana use, there's very little appetite to go after illegal grows, and, you know, that's, you know, unless the public is really made aware of some of the damage that's being done, you know, physically, economically, environmentally, they're going to act like, well, it doesn't affect me. It's nothing I need to worry about. It. If they want to do that, that's their business.
Yeah, they think they're not going to pay for it. And yeah, I mean,
I hope
people do watch that Narcofornia, because when you see that, you realize there's no way that a small rural community is going to clean up that ground. It's not possible.
No, it's poisoned it.
I mean, you're looking at Superfund level cleanup at some point. And so they think, well, maybe I don't care about that because I don't live anywhere near there. Well, guess what? That's where all your food is grown. That's where your beef comes.
Gets into the water supply. I mean, it has
it's affecting everybody.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're exporting it to a town near you. So just in case you thought Kansas was safe.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, the industry has put out so much garbage about, you know, how wonderful it is, and there's all this profit, and, you know, people are finding themselves, and it's just so great. And, you know, nobody has countered that. Nobody has really fought back and said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, what about psych episodes? What about violence? What about addiction? And I'll tell you what, there was a time, if you look at my vitae, I mean, I was called by CBS, NBC, ABC, every radio station you can imagine, And it's difficult today for me to get picked up by any kind of major media because they've all been sold this bill of goods that pot's okay, don't rock the boat. You know, our local newspaper, my God, it was wonderful. All I do was send an email and there was an article. Well, they got bought out and I said it does.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to create that paper and to get reasonable scientific stuff out. And I think that may be the single biggest problem that we're facing is control of big chunks of the media by the pot lobby.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you have to remember, too, that these grows generate billions with a B in dollars. That money, when it goes to your local tractor supply, and that's their biggest customer, they're welcoming that business. When that money goes to, let's say your local Board of Supervisors candidate for a donation, they welcome that money because it's going to help them get reelected.
And it's a legal business.
And it's
I love
legal.
That one.
Oh, yeah,
that's
I love
my
that.
Favorite.
Yeah,
it's a legal business.
They can do that. But that money is showing up. I mean, where I work, people come in all the time with handfuls of cash and buy products. They drive Bentleys. And I'm talking 25-year-old kids driving a Bentley. I'm sorry, when I was 25, I had an old beat-up pickup truck, and I was happy if it got me back and forth to work. There is so much money being generated by that. That's where the loss of appetite is to go after this business, because all they do is they start greasing palms, and everything just goes away.
It's interesting. Our the House of Representatives is doing a contest with on the Republican side. They're having kind of like an inside contest to get things out into the media, so they're pulling different topics. And so our local congressman, Doug LaMalfa, here in the 1st District of California, has 11 counties, and they're all being hard hit with this. And the state won't enforce unless they've agreed to do commercial grow and all that, and he's adamantly opposed to it. So the trick with all of his communications is how to work marijuana into the topic to make that part of the educational stream. And so... because and we're going to have people do that. That's the only way we're going to be able to get the message over the bar and get folks like you back in the driver's seat to give them fact. We have to take a really quick break again. We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Eric Voth. We have had our time fly by. You can find this interview posted commercial free later this afternoon at wethepeopleradio.us.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long? Let me know you're here, 'cause my TV set just keeps it all from being clear. I want a reason for the way things have to be.
I think we need to call on some angels to help us with this.
It is going to require some sort of intervention. a major intervention. So, Dr. Voss, what have we not covered? What do people need to know, and what would help them push back locally as this overtakes their community?
Well, the main thing is to self-educate. You know, a lot of people have a sense marijuana is a problem. Okay, fine. But can you carry on a good argument or a good conversation with the legislator or somebody that's pro-pop? And if you can, you know, people to hit the website here and go to our library, I think there's, 25 or 30 different subjects that they can take, that they can look at and become informed, you know. And that way, when talking to a legislator and they go, oh, you know, that's nonsense, as they always do, you know, you say, no, wait a minute. There's this, this, and this study that is clear that it has this impact. And all of a sudden, people start to wake up and they go, gee whiz, you know, maybe I need to listen to this person. So educate, inform themselves, don't put your head in the sand, don't quit. Because once you quit, you've lost the battle. And it may feel like you're losing the battle, and you may be losing, but you just can't. I mean, I'm living proof of that. I literally now I'm 40 years into this thing, and, you know, it feels like a chunk of the time I'm on the losing end. But every once in a while, a real great breakthrough happens, and you go, well, now, you know, if I'd quit 10 years ago, where would we be? And if we have dozens or hundreds of people that are really starting to, you know, pick the banner, you know, we may turn some of this around, and we have many more than we did 5 or 10 years ago.
Well, we have a lot of information we didn't have 5 or 10 years ago. I have yet Absolutely. To speak with anyone regarding the chromosomal damage that Dr. Reese speaks about. I've never spoken with anyone who said, oh, yeah, I've heard about that. No one. Not one person.
Yeah. Right. And there is huge amount of and research out there. And if you have access to really good internet, another to search is on PubMed. P as in Paul, U B boy, E D, and that is sort of the big clearinghouse, all scientific research and medical research. And the beauty of it is you can go right on there and search cannabis psychosis, and boom, it'll just throw, you know, tons of articles out. Our website is a little easier to use, but nonetheless, that data is out there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think a lot of people don't do their own homework. They just repeat what somebody told them as gospel. I mean, you really need to dive in and check it out yourself,
sure.
And verify some of this stuff.
Well, and for all the people that are parents and grandparents who think that it's harmless and it's just a little phase and blah, 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 yeah. I mean, I know someone very well who is not a marijuana user, never was, who didn't, you know, when their adult son decided, you know, they were gonna smoke pot, and I don't know, it wasn't a big thing. He was employed, making good money, doing really well, but he was using marijuana, and got to a point where he was going to jump off of a building in Los Angeles, like not in Redding, where I think our tallest building is 3 floors. It was a real building, a big building, and had a psychotic episode. That was a
right.
Major wake-up call, and they would never, because I used to say, you know, hey, I don't think this is a good idea. Well, you know, he's an adult. He can do what he wants. But I don't think they were properly afraid of what it would do. I think that's
right. That's
one thing we can do for our friends and family is scare the hell out of them.
Yeah, because there's plenty of parents out there that have kids that did jump off the building.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad.
Right. We have been, you know, massively, massively overwhelmed by pro-pot literature, by pro-pot marketing, and, you know, it's not even, and you live this every day out there. So I think the point is, you know, it'd be nice to try to even the score a little bit, And I think the way you do that is through education.
I think so, too. I totally agree.
Yeah, you're not going to outspend them. I mean, there's just too much money behind this movement.
The other thing, the other factor that we sort of touched on but didn't really pound home is really, really pay attention to where the funding for things in your community is originating.
Right.
You know, we have, you know, we had a group of people who wanted to do a patriotic set of film. Yeah, I don't know if you're films or videos or whatever you call it, but a little series. They were going to do this series, and they had $20,000 at the forefront that came from someone in the community that runs a supply house for tools, growing tools. And, yeah, okay, so maybe people do grow tomatoes, but it's a lot of marijuana. You know, it's a lot of marijuana stuff. If you're going to do marijuana grows, you'd get your stuff there. And my contention is, I don't think people in the marijuana industry that are making a fortune are secret philanthropists. I don't think that's true. So when you see that money connection, that ought to be a huge red flag. And we can all do that. You don't have to be a scientist, a doctor, a marijuana expert, but you can pay attention to where the money is moving in your community and to whom.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because that's a real tell. And as it moves into our politics, you have to be kind of, you know, you have to really look. But people worry, you know, they ask candidates questions and they give them an answer. And they go, oh, okay, that's what he said. Walk away. I'm like, you might want to look at the campaign filings, because they're all public, for where the money is flowing.
Yeah, because I don't think any money that is donated into politics comes without any strings attached. And it may not be voiced up front,
yeah,
but eventually somebody's going to come to you and ask you a favor.
Well, why would the marijuana industry want someone on the Board of Supervisors? Because they're going to vote on whether or not there's commercial growing in the county.
Right.
That's easy.
Oh, absolutely.
It's super easy. So, and the voters decide that. You know, people blame the candidates all the time. Well, they're not electing themselves and they're not funding themselves, typically. That's happening. That's happening in a wider venue that you have a hand in.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely.
So,
well, I think the other piece that is so important is exactly what we're doing here today, you know, getting in front of the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so important that if they, you know that so-and-so's got a grow operation going, well, what does that do to them? What's that doing to individuals, et cetera? Super important.
It is absolutely important, and as that comes into your community, I mean, our county, just this election in June, the beginning of June, we had two candidates for sheriff. One took money from a marijuana collective. back in his first idea, he's laughing. I know, you're like, no brainer, right? And the other guy, didn't. So why would a candidate for sheriff take money from a marijuana collective and then try to defend it by saying it's a legal business?
Yeah, well.
And can you believe that actually was a discussion that went on for quite some time, and people did vote for him because he told them he was going to do all sorts of things that most of it he couldn't do anyway. But, went on and on about what a great constitutional blah, blah, blah he was. But there was marijuana money, and there were more connections that came out right before the election. So there's not ever just one. You know, the marijuana industry doesn't support you just a tiny bit. They're not like, oh, he might be a nice guy, let's throw him a bone and see what happens. No. They have picked you out, they're going to lift you up, and they're going to carry you on their shoulders.
Well, and absolutely, you know, that's, I think, why we're seeing so much difficulty of trying to get into the regular media, you know. I don't know. I think it's, I'm not sure how that turns around. I think that the more that we brought facts and figures and, you know, science, maybe they'll listen. I'm not super optimistic. I'll tell you what, it's, there's a closed door and a stone wall on many of the media.
Yeah. Well, movies, music, all of it, it's all part and parcel out there. But I figure every person who hears information like what you gave us today, you can't unhear that. You know?
Well, I sure hope.
Yeah, I mean, you can't unlearn those things. And, you know, we try to make it really, really easy. All of our stuff is posted online. We have a tab on our website that says POT. You can go there. You can see pictures. If you, and I tell people all the time, hey, if you don't care about the cartels being in the area, if you don't care about the chemicals, if you don't care about the people who are, you know, having psychotic episodes and shooting up schools, you know, you run through the list. Hey, maybe you care about the evil growers that are skinning and eating dogs out in their grows. Maybe you care about that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no shortage of what not to like with this particular thing. We're going to have, I believe, maybe on the 7th or 14th, we're going to have somebody from one of the animal rescues up near where you've got like 5,000 greenhouses, and they just do despicable things to animals. So if you have somebody who thinks marijuana is great, doesn't want to listen to you on anything else, watch for the show about the animal rescue, and maybe that'll light their hair on fire.
Yeah.
But
I
do think we're the answer. We're the problem and we're the answer, right? That's kind of always how it works out. For your patients who, you know, with addiction, for those folks out there with addiction who are hooked on this stuff, have a recommendation besides go get some help? Is there anything more specific for those folks?
Well, the tricky part is finding treatment programs or finding, you know, treatment professionals that recognize what a problem marijuana is. I mean, you know, I've argued with a number of psychiatrists and social workers, oh, it's not that big a deal.
Oh.
And so that is the single first choice, is know where you're going and or that they understand the effects of marijuana. And from there, then obviously try to find a good therapist or a good AANA group or, you know, one that will address it as the problem that it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't realize that was, God, so if somebody goes in and says, you know, my life is messed up, I need some help. Oh, you just smoke marijuana? That's not that big a deal. I mean, do they really, is that actually a thing?
Yes, they do that. Oh, yes, they do that.
Oh, come on.
You must have an intrinsic depressive disorder. No, I smoke pot and I get more depressed and, you know, I feel like killing myself. No, you must have a metabolic depressive disorder. It's like, wakes up.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Pull the pin. Yeah,
and I have had some terrible arguments with mental health folks. Oh, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
It's so much worse they can use. It's like, well.
Not really.
Well.
Oh, they'll get to those things later, I guess. Dr. Eric Voth, thank you for spending your time with us today. We hope everybody zooms to the archives and downloads this show and sends it to a friend. You can find it at
wethepeopleradio.us.
Thank you.
Take care.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got minds to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. No, we can't slow down, we can't hold back, though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.